Have you ever noticed, even though you really don't like admitting it, we tend to have a double standard? Yeah, it's true. Have you ever been angry that someone who was supposed to serve 10 years in prison got 7, and it was publicly released he got out, and you were upset that how come he didn't serve all of his term? Have you ever been offended when we find that someone who did a crime, all he got was probation and parole instead of jail time, when others have gotten jail time for the same thing? Have you ever been upset about stuff like that? Have you ever been upset when somebody zooms by you on the highway doing 90, okay, way over the speed limit, except outside Texas? You know, there's parts of Texas that, you know, you just kind of fly by. But, you know, we get upset because we remembered when we got ticketed going 40 in a 35. Have you ever been upset how when you want the law applied, it seems to be missing? As a kid, of course, you know some of my stories, I was the instigator. But there was that 2% that I didn't start it. And I don't think my ever, my brothers and sisters got it as hard as I did. Have you ever felt that life, it's just not fair, right? In the Bible, you have two men in God's house. And they're certainly not talking as if life is fair, right? The one guy is Pharisee. That's Bible times for Lutheran. You know, goes to church, you know, serves as an officer, tithes, gives, you know, 10% of the income before taxes. Right? You know, observes all of the church year. Not just Christmas and Easter, but they're in the sanctuary on Ash Wednesday and the midweek Lenten services. And yes, when it was cold, they came out for Advent too. And on, his list is there before God, you know, and he thanks God that he is not like these other churchgoers. And he's gloating and bragging and exalting himself. And he's pointing to all the stuff that he wants to take credit for. And Jesus then, he spends a little time on the other guy in the house of the Lord that day. He's a tax collector. In those days, a tax collector was the equivalent of what during war times we call a collaborator. Do you remember what a collaborator was? If you like old war movies, you know, the French Resistance, you know, and you have someone that let out the plans and what they were going to do. And that was a collaborator. It was a one who played nice with the enemy for personal gain. That's a collaborator. And so this collaborator, this tax collector, he's in the house of the Lord. But you heard what he said. He's beating himself up. He has one phrase: God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's quite a difference, isn't it? We call the one self-righteous. Self-righteous is when you proclaim yourself as being righteous according to the rules and the covenants and the procedures and the traditions that you are supposed to fulfill. Your checklist, no matter how long it is finally and purely marked off. Self-righteous. Self-glorifying is what it is. The other one is repentant. He has no righteousness. He does not deserve God's grace. He knows that. His life is a mess. Yes, he's collaborated. Yes, he's stuffed his pockets with the extra taxes that he charged. You know, yes, he's done that. He knows it's wrong. He's not making excuses. And then Jesus throws a curveball to the crowd. This humble guy, this awful corrupt sinner, is the one who leaves justified. And it doesn't make sense. Because in our world today, if we're going to be justified, what we do is we justify what we've done. We excuse, we explain, we rationalize. Sometimes we cover up. Highway patrolman pulls you over on Interstate 40. You're going to Memphis. You're going to my favorite restaurant called On the Border. I'm not with you. So I called the highway patrolman to watch for you because you're going without me. Terrible pastor. So anyway, you get pulled over and you get ticketed for 5 miles over the speed limit. Now, what kind of words come out of your mouth? It's not, yes, officer, I was guilty. I was actually doing 75 and a 70. And you are absolutely right for giving me this ticket, you know. But instead, we justify. I was only doing, you know, with all the drama. And how come you didn't get the pickup that went by me? You know, that 4x4 half-ton truck with the dualies on the back. And, you know, I even heard the bass 3 miles away. And he was doing 80. You know, we justify. We justify it when we're kids. He started it, you know. Or she, if it's your sister. Do you understand? We justify. We blame. We cast responsibility elsewhere. And yet that's the word that Jesus used. But it's not how we use the word. Jesus was not saying it was okay for the Pharisee to act self-righteous. But what he was saying is that in God's court, standing trial, which one is declared forgiven? Which one leaves with the righteousness according to God? Which one leaves restored? Which one is healed spiritually? Which one? And it's the one who confesses. It's the one who has sorrow in his heart, a lament in his heart over the offense against God. There's no excuses. There's no rationalization. There's no words about being a collaborator. Like, it's really hard to survive in this world today. You know that, God, right? And I had to feed my family. And, you know, I needed 2 Corvettes. And, you know, all the luxuries, right? Do you understand? This man stands humble and repentant before Almighty God. And he leaves justified because he's covered with the righteousness, the white garment of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He leaves restored because Christ has taken away, by his grace and mercy, the sin, put it on himself, and upon that sinner, repentant, he gives him his own righteousness. The righteousness of Christ covers him. You see, traditionally, that's why pastors wear black. We're the sinner underneath. His black is darker than mine. Was that smooth?
We all know the truth.
Yeah. We wear black to remind ourselves, not just you, it's ourselves. We are not self-righteous. We are not self-declared righteous. We are not holy in and of ourselves. And as the Bible says, we join you, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And there's no excuse for it. There is no self-justification for it. But in place, because of faith that God has worked in our hearts, there's the lament. There's the outcry, God be merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. With no excuses, no one else to blame. It's just me, God, being my normal human self. And God, in his grace and his mercy, he forgives our sins. And so pastors will often wear the white robe. And we have this little plastic tab. You know, I can take it out. We speak God's word of truth, God's word of grace, God's word of mercy, God's word of righteousness. It's not of our own creation or fabrication or makeup or philosophy. It's not our own eloquent words. It's the words that echo what Jesus says. I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, by the command of Jesus Christ, we say to you what Christ says to you. Your sins are forgiven because you have confessed that lament. You have owned up to what you are and who you are and what you have done. And you may not have memorized every sin since last week, but you know, without a doubt, you have fallen short of the glory of God. Is that true? Yes? It is. And so, as voicing Christ's words of Scripture, we proclaim what Jesus said about the man who left the temple that day, who went away justified. And it was the one who confessed. It's not diagnosed and diagrammed. It's the one who went away, and for 7 days he had to get it right. You know, it's the one who said, I am the poor, miserable sinner. And God says, yes, you are. And to the sinner, he says, I forgive you. And the justification comes from the proclamation of God, the highest court, right? The ultimate authority. You are forgiven. You are restored. But the one who does not confess, and the one who holds on to their own righteousness, that's what they leave with. Their own stuff. And they believe their sin doesn't stink before God. And they believe they don't have any attitude problems. And they believe their understanding is perfect. And yet their understanding excuses the same things that God says, there's no excuse. Think how many different ways in our our contemporary language, we self-justify. You ever told a white lie? Those two words do not go together, by the way. Lie is always dark. It's always of sin. There is no such thing as a white lie. But we like that, don't we? It justifies what we said. It excuses us. And we feel better about ourselves. So you know what Ash Wednesday is about? It raises the question, how do you want to feel better about yourself? Is it by your own proclamation? Try and get that word out. Is it by your own words that you want to feel better about yourself? And is that working for you? Or do you want to hear what God says to you? The words of His grace, His mercy, and His peace. Because that has the power to change your heart, your mind, your whole being. It has the power to take away the load that's on your shoulders, the sin that you're holding on to, the things that hold you hostage. So which would you rather hear? And Jesus pointed out, the repentant sinner is the one that hears God's words of grace. And because he receives that by faith, he's the one that leaves justified, declared forgiven, declared pure again in the blood of Jesus. Our journey on our Wednesday nights, the overall theme is called The Ironies of the Passion. And an irony is basically something that seems the opposite. It's counterintuitive, if you will. And so in this night, you have the guy that's really living well, and he thinks it's for the glory of God, and you have the guy that's a sinful idiot. And who leaves? Justified. And it's the one of the most corruption, but with the truest confession. I did it, God. I sinned. By my own reason, by my own strength, by my own thinking, by my own sick humor, by my own jealousy, rivalry, competitiveness, I have sinned. By my own greed, by my own hatred, by my own biases and prejudices, I have sinned. By my own arrogance and by my own opinion that I hold closer than anything else, I have sinned. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to praise about. I have nothing worthy. I am the poor, miserable sinner. And spiritually, I'm black. And God does a remarkable thing. He makes us white. Now, I'm not sharing my robe with you because you don't need this to be white. You have something that I have, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. You have been reconciled to God the Father through our Lord and our Savior, His Son, Jesus. You have been made right. You have been healed. You have been restored. You have been adopted as a child of God. And in the rest of the series, you'll learn about more of what that means and how our life, because of Christ and the ironies of the Passion, how our lives, you know, we don't make sense in this crazy world either. I'm a sinner and I'm happy. That don't make sense. I'm humbled by the weight of it, and yet I'm lifted up by the freedom of the gospel. That doesn't make sense. We're taught to hide, deny, refuse, recant. I mean, renounce. Don't point the finger at me, you know. We are taught to blame. We are taught to cast away fault, to just reject all kinds of accountability. Even Flip Wilson, remember that? The devil made me do it. You know, we are taught that from knee high up. And God calls us into that dark stupidity of ours, our silly thinking, our foolishness, our spiritual denials. He reaches in and he shows us a Savior who takes the black. Or as John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Man, it's wonderful news. In one sense, I have to bring up my sin, and yet in the next heartbeat, I'm forgiven. I'm sad, I'm sorrowful, my heart hurts, and then I'm joyful and giggly in a spiritual, godly way. It doesn't make sense. But that is the irony of the passion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We leave justified. Amen.